2023 is going to be a big year for regenerating Wellington's underwater forests. Love Rimu Rimu is a project set up through Mountains to Sea, and this year they'll be planting their first kelp forests in Wellington, Te Whanganui Atara. The pilot of planting baby seaweeds in Mahanga Bay has already proved to be a success. To tell us more, Mountains to Sea co-director and project lead of Love Rimu Rimu, Zoe Studd, is on the line. Hi, Zoe.
Hey, Jesse.
Kia ora, where are you right now?
Ah, I'm so pleased you asked me that. I'm standing on the balcony of the Worcester Bay Surf Club, and I'm looking out across to Whanganui Atara and onto some seaweed forest. So I'm in the perfect place for this interview.
Awesome. Where does your passion? Where does your passion for this come from?
I've always, you know, lived in Wellington and grown up in the area and been very connected to the sea. But my dad used to take me out snorkeling as a intermediate student. He used to bunk off work early and come and pick me up, and we'd go out to Makara and go snorkeling around there, and that was very much the start of it for me, and that's just continued through my life. I worked as a dive instructor and based in Kaikoura in Samoa, and about 15 years ago that transferred into work taking young people out snorkeling through a national program called Experiencing Marine Reserves. And recently, we've moved into trying to regrow seaweed. So it's always been there, really.
How and why did this Mountains to Sea project begin?
So Love Rimu Rimu began as an education project. We were working in a collaboration with lots of amazing crew who are here in Wellington, including a group called Project Baseline. And they've been looking at the decline and the change in these giant kelp forests, the Macrocystis perifera, which is in its northernmost extent here in Wellington. And we started talking with them, and we did a few seaweed snorkels and realised that a lot was going on under the water that we didn't understand, and that wasn't being documented or followed, and that people in general didn't have a big love for seaweed. So we developed an education program first and foremost called Love Rimu Rimu. And that was just getting kids out snorkeling and getting them to think of our seaweed forests the way that we think of, our forests on land.
Mm.
And then young students, some of the students from Akura Kaupapa Māori in Miramar Peninsula on Motukairangi and our Mokopuna, they said, well, why aren't we regrowing seaweeds out in the harbour? And we said, well, no good reason, really. Let's give it a go. So that was the inception of the idea for the regeneration of some of those seaweed forests in the harbour, and with seed funding from the Wellington Community Fund, from their Climate Fund, and then later down the line from the Clear Foundation, we've been able to establish quite a large project now with a range of collaborators from Victoria University and Niwa and Taranaki Wānui and the community, all sort of geared towards figuring out where they'll survive and how we can improve conditions for them inside our harbour.
Is the existing seaweed in decline?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a problem in Wellington, but that's actually a global problem. So seaweed forests internationally are in decline, and there are massive swathes of forest, Tasmania, California, there's huge extents of seaweed forests that are disappearing, and they're impacted from a whole range of different things, but climate change is certainly a factor in that.
Okay. If climate change is the problem, then how will planting forests or planting these seaweeds help?
So for us, resilience is probably our best pathway. So the more biodiversity we have, the greater resilience we have in an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And Wellington Harbour isn't just impacted by warming sea temperatures, it's also impacted by all of our activities on land. So sedimentation, poor water quality, also the extraction from the ocean interfering with, the balance in those ecosystems. So I think you and I have chatted before about the fact that when you remove those top predators, you might get an overabundance of a grazing species like kina. And then they can knock back some of the seaweed stands as well. So part of the research is looking at, where the seaweeds can survive now, and so where we could reintroduce them. and to improve that biodiversity and the extent of them. We may not be successful in Wellington Harbour. We're certainly going to try our hardest, but if we can't deal with all of those other impacts, then we are going to be in a pretty challenging situation. But there is research going on through the Victoria University Coastal Ecology Lab, and that's under Dr. Chris Cornwell, and his team of researchers there. And they're actually looking into sort of building resilience or intergenerational resilience into some of the seaweed species that we have in the harbour. So essentially what that means is the offspring of a giant kelp that's been through a heat stress event might be more resilient to heat stress events in the future. So that could be a way that we can future-proof some of those things. But we may lose some of those species. So giant kelp, for the listeners who don't really know what that is, when you drive around Wellington's coastline in particular spots, you'll see those beautiful fronds floating on the surface, and it's also known as bladder kelp, and they form really big forests, like, you know, up to 12, 14 metres they can grow, and then they'll spread out over the surface. So they act like a big canopy, like a large rimu tree in a forest. So they're the ones that are at their northernmost limit here in Wellington, and they're the ones that we're primarily focusing on to begin with. But if they don't survive in the harbour, then we also need to know what other species could survive. So there's also research into some of the other species that could provide some of the same ecosystem services or provide the same kind of habitat, but will be able to survive some of the changes that are coming.
Okay. How has this pilot gone then? Tell me about the ones that you have planted.
Oh, yeah. So we are working off a little raft that belongs to Niwa in Mahanga Bay, and we started with a very small nursery hosted by Niwa, and we've been planting, so extracting the spores from seaweeds, growing those up to about 2 centimetres in length, and then attaching them onto ropes and different kinds of substrate and hanging them off the raft at Mahanga Bay. And the first lot that went out were about, yeah, as I said, 2 centimetres long. Some of them had been through some of those heat stress trials to see how they'd respond going back out into the environment. And they've all been growing pretty well. So we're up to about 2 metres now on some of those plants. And naturally in summer they do die off a little bit. Their growth season is in winter, but they're still going strong. So that gives us good hope for us being able to do that in other areas and other regeneration sites around the harbour. So we've learned a lot in the last year, and we're gearing up to go a bit further this year.
Yeah, good one. So you grow them from the top down, do you?
Grow them from the top down?
Like you plant them, I guess, as sort of around the surface of the water, and they grow downwards?
No, we plant them at the depth that we expect them to start at. So at about 2 metres. Literally, we've been doing some different depth trials. So I think at about 1, 2,
okay,
3 metres. But you are quite right. When we plant them out into the marine environment, if they grow really well, we might find that they outgrow the water column, and then they'll start spreading across the surface. Yeah. But when they're planted commercially, like out on a farm on ropes, then yeah, they do successively drop them down. But our hope will be to plant them and leave them in situ and let them just do what they need to do.
They grow fast, eh?
Very fast. I mean, we've not seen the growth. Some of them can grow up to about 0.5 metre a day. We've not seen that growth here in Wellington Harbour, but they're very fast growing organisms, and they also, you know, do quite amazing things in the water column. So they absorb and release carbon over the day, and they absorb nutrients. So they're providing all sorts of, you know, ecosystem benefits and ecosystem services at the same time.
Meanwhile, you are patiently trying to get locals enthused about kelp forests and these habitats. You got another event on Saturday.
Yeah, we do. In that. No one ever says patiently and associates that with me, but yes, I suppose I am waiting patiently. That's why I probably picked something like seaweed to grow. But yeah, we have a really amazing crew of volunteers who work with us every year, and we put on free community snorkel days right around Wellington. So we had one last weekend in Tapatiranga Marine Reserve in Island Bay, and that was about 220-odd people came down
there.
Wow. And we've got another one on tomorrow, but Unfortunately, I do believe there is a southerly that's going to come in and stuff it up for us. So we've got a backup day on the 11th of February at Tapitiranga, and then we have events out at Kapiti Island Marine Reserve and also a couple up in Porirua at Whitirea Park as well. So there's lots of ways people can come and either get in the water or talk to all of our experts who are gathering together at those days as well, and they'll have seaweed for people to look at, and you can buy a seaweed guide and have a chat about the project and how you can get involved if you want to as well.
Nice one. Real pleasure to talk to you again. Thank you.
Oh, lovely to talk to you, Jesse. Thanks for your time.
Kelp forests and the people planting them. And that's Zoe Studd, who's project lead of Love Rimu Rimu in Wellington.